Well, the Bible presents us with both bad news and good news. The bad news is that everyone born into this world, including you and me, have sinned against God. And therefore we are under His condemnation, the condemnation of the holy, righteous God, the one that the scriptures tell us cannot look upon sin. He will not allow sin to dwell in His presence. And so His verdict and His condemnation of all who have sinned is death and separation from Him. That's the bad news. The good news is that God has a plan by which He completely forgives the sinners or the sins of all who repent of their sin. They turn away from their sin and they turn to the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, and put their faith and trust in Him to save them. But He not only forgives sins, He forgives them forever. The Bible uses various words to describe God's forgiveness, to show how God deals with our sin. When we do turn from our sin and we turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in Him. In the Old Testament, there are three terms that are used to cover or to blot out, then to take away, and then the third term is to pardon. So in the Old Testament it speaks about those who turn to God and trust in Him and walk with Him, that their sin is covered, it's blotted out, it's taken away, it is pardoned. When we come to the New Testament, there are four terms used in relation to forgiveness. First of these is to release. The second is to grace, or to put it another way, to give heaven when we really do deserve hell. The third term is to send away. And the fourth term is to disregard. So when someone confesses their sin to God and believes in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Saviour from sin, that person is forgiven. Their sins are blotted out. They're taken away. They're pardoned. They're released. They're sent away, they're disregarded, they are given heaven instead of hell, which we all deserve. So the question that automatically ought to come to us then is that if this is the case, has God forgiven me? Has God forgiven you? Have you asked God for forgiveness? Without His forgiveness, the exact opposite remains the case. Without repentance, without turning away from sin, without putting our faith and trust in Christ to save us from our sins are not blotted out. They are not taken away. They are not pardoned, they're not released, they're not sent away, they're not disregarded, and we will be given hell rather than heaven, the hell which we have earned and that we deserve. For the wages of sin, what we reap from sin, is death and condemnation. But the gospel proclaims God's plan of complete forgiveness. our sins forgiven forever. We might be a bit hesitant or perhaps even afraid that people might, or what people might think of us, or that they might reject us or even turn against us if they really knew what we were like. If they knew what we have been guilty of in the past, or perhaps even, or guilty of even at the present moment. But there should be no such fear in coming to Christ and confessing all to Him. After all, He knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows all about us. He knows us warts and all. And yet, He has promised not to turn away any who come to Him in repentance and faith. Remember, even the thief on the cross, even at that last moment, even though he was guilty of such awful crimes, he didn't turn the thief away. He didn't turn away the woman caught in adultery. He turns no one away. We're to come to him just as we are. We're not to try and fix things or to sort things out or to put things or make things better in order that we might be able to come to him. We're just to come to him as we are. And when we do, he will blot out everything that is recorded against us. Everything that is charged to our account, every sin, every disobedience, every grievance against God, he will blot out that record. And he will give us a complete pardon. And he will give us heaven instead of hell, which we do deserve. If we have no assurance of forgiveness or assurance of eternal life, there will always be that doubt, that fear, that uncertainty if we are depending upon ourselves, if we're trusting in our own actions, our own works, our own good works, and perhaps even our own religious works to make us right with God. There is no assurance. There is no eternal life promised. No forgiveness by depending upon ourselves or our own self-righteousness. We cannot make up for or do away with even one sin. There's only one who can forgive, and there's only one way, and that is through God. God is the only one who can forgive us, so we must come to him, and we must come to him by the way that he has laid down, and that is through the Saviour, through the mediator, the one mediator between God and man, that is his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We read there at the beginning Psalm 32. Psalm 32 is a psalm that is all about the blessedness of forgiveness. The blessedness of forgiveness. He begins, blessed is he. Blessed. Asher. The name or the word means happy. Happy is the one whose transgression, whose sin is forgiven. We know that people are chasing happiness and security in the things of this world, in accumulating possessions and in chasing pleasures. But all of these things are just temporary. They're passing. We'll not be able to take any of these things with us into eternity. Real and lasting happiness, true blessedness, true blessing is the forgiveness of sins. That is the heart of being truly blessed, of being truly happy. It is the forgiveness of sins, because through the forgiveness of sins, we have, or we come into, a right relationship with God. And having a right relationship with God, we could not be any more blessed or any more happy. Yet I'm sure you know what lies behind Psalm 32. Behind Psalm 32 lies a very dark and ugly background of sin and shame, misery and hopelessness. But that awful situation was completely reversed. It was completely turned around in verse 5. I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. It's the turning point when someone moves from a condition of misery and hopelessness to blessedness and happiness. Up until this point, David had been hiding his sin, or attempting to cover up his sin. He had kept silent about it. But nothing can be hidden from the all-knowing, the all-seeing God. David's cover-up only resulted in his own illness and misery. He says that his bones grew old. He became weary. He was eaten up with anxiety. He was groaning all day long. And it was all because he was silent, because he was trying to hide from God and hide his sin from God. He wouldn't acknowledge it. He wouldn't confess it. Now, not all sickness, but some sickness can be the consequence of sin, of unrepented sin. The Apostle Paul, writing to the Corinthians, says to them that some of them were sick, and others had even died because of their misuse and their abuse of the Lord's table, in 1 Corinthians 11. David, at this point in his life, was not right with God. And so God's hand was heavy upon him. He was not enjoying the favor of God. He was not experiencing the blessing of God. There was no comfort for him. There was no strength in even in his physical being, and I'm sure not in his spiritual being, because of unconfessed and unrepented sin in his life. His whole energy and vitality was dried up, it was sapped. And perhaps as we consider these things, you might think, well, that sounds a wee bit like me. There's a lack of joy in my heart, in my life. I have no energy, no spiritual energy, no enthusiasm. We must ask ourselves the question, is there perhaps some unconfessed, some unrepented sin at the back of it all? As God confronted David with his sin through his word and through his prophet Nathan, who comes to him in 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 7, and he says, thou art the man. He had to be dragged to acknowledge his sin. He had to be confronted. He had to be challenged. God had to speak to him, and he sends Nathan to point the finger and say, it's you. It's you. Perhaps God confronts us with unconfessed, unrepented sin through his word. David is convicted of his sin by the Word of God, by the Spirit of God. And David confesses his sin and he repents, and his whole situation is transformed. And so it could be for us. If we follow after David's footsteps, first of all, he admits his condition. He admits, I am a sinner. I am a sinner. And he acknowledges that he has sinned. He says, I have sinned. I have sinned. And this is the place to which we all must come if we are to be saved from our sin and to be forgiven of all our transgressions and iniquities. We first of all must admit that we are a sinner, because as we heard on Friday evening from Pastor Dowling, so many people think that we're okay, we're all right, I'm not as bad as other people, I'm trying the best that I can, I haven't hurt anybody, I try to do the best that I can for my neighbour, I try to live an upright life. And we think that that's enough. And we're satisfied with being self-righteous. We need to come to this place and to admit that we're a sinner and that we have sinned. He acknowledges that he has sinned. I have sinned. David gives up trying to hide anymore. He says, my iniquity I have not hidden. I will confess my transgression to the Lord. Why was it that he was hiding? Why this having to be dragged to the point of opening up and confessing his sin? After all the fear and the dread and the guilt and the shame in keeping silent and trying to hide from God, what happens? Does God strike him down and devour him in his anger? Absolutely not. David says, you forgive. You forgive these awful things. You forgive the iniquity of my sin. He acknowledges his sin. He confesses his sin, and God forgives him. He kept silent. He tried to cover it up, perhaps because he feared the consequences. But when he comes to God, he finds God to be full of compassion and full of mercy and slow to anger. God forgives him. God blots out his sin. God pardons him and deals with him in mercy rather than in wrath. But how can God do this? How can God forgive David for what he had done? How can he forgive you and me? Do we simply just confess our sins, go over a list of things that we can think of? I'm sure that we can't remember the half of it or a portion of it. And then God says, well, that's okay, I forgive you. It doesn't work like that. What we need to realize is that God is holy. God is holy, and God punishes all sin. All sin. None of it is swept under some spiritual carpet or just disregarded as if it had never happened. Well, thank you very much for confessing your sin, and that's great, and I forgive you, and we'll just go on from there. It's not just disregarded. All sin is punished. Those who do not acknowledge, who do not confess their sin, who do not repent, don't turn away from it, and don't believe in the Saviour, don't believe in Christ, they will pay for their sin themselves. They will pay for it. They will be punished for it. They will bear the consequences of their sin upon their own heads. And if you look at the cross, if you look at the cross, that's what we deserve. That's what we deserve for our sin against God. Punishment and condemnation. But God does forgive sinners like you and like me, so that we will never be punished, never condemned, because our punishment and our condemnation has been satisfied by one who has taken our place, the one who took our place on the cross and has borne the consequences of our sin, so that we can go free. God provided a sin bearer, one to bear the sins of his people, his own son, as John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." All sin is punished. All sin is punished. But the sins of everyone who repents and believes have been punished on the cross of Christ. Him who knew no sin. He knew no sin himself, but he was made sin for us. He took our place and he took our punishment. What does it mean to be forgiven? It means that we acknowledge before God that we are sinners. We confess before him the sins that we have committed, and through Jesus Christ we ask for his mercy and for his forgiveness. And his answer to that, he gives us a promise. He gives us a promise. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we ask his forgiveness, he forgives us and he cleanses us of all unrighteousness, all our sins. Our sins are blotted out. They are covered over. But they're not blotted out or covered over because of something that we do, or even because we have asked for forgiveness, or because we're nice people or religious people. Our sins are only ever blotted out or covered over by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the only covering for sin that will deal with our sin so as to take them away, that they will never, ever reappear. You will never see them again. You will never hear of them again. The devil will try to bring them back. Will try to rake up the past. Will remind you of all of those awful things that you said, that you did, that you thought, the things that you didn't do that you knew you should have done. The devil will bring them all back. Even your own memory will bring them back. God doesn't bring them back. And that's what we need to remind the devil. And we need to remind ourselves. What's this? Yes, yes, I did that. I did that. To my shame, I did that. But God has taken it away. He has blotted it out. I remember it and I regret it. But I learned from it. And by God's help, I won't do it again.
But that thing, whatever it was, that situation, it's gone. It's blotted out.
Can you rejoice with David this evening? You forgive the iniquity of my sin. You forgive the iniquity of my sin. Are your sins forgiven because they have been paid for completely? Completely? We don't have to top up what Christ did. They were paid for completely. And they have been removed from your account by the Lord Jesus Christ. They were charged to his account, and he paid for them. Blessed, happy is the one whose transgression, whose sin is forgiven, whose sin is covered, because it is covered by Christ. We can't work for forgiveness. We can't earn forgiveness. We simply have to ask for it. We simply ask for it through God's mercy. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I know what I deserve. Be merciful. Be merciful. Don't hide it any longer. It's not really hidden. It's not really hidden. Acknowledge it. Confess it. And he will forgive your sin. When God forgives us, he takes away all our sin, all the guilt, the whole filthy, awful, damnable mess. He removes it and he takes it away so that it will never, ever be found. Psalm 103, we're going to sing in a moment, verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Micah chapter 7, verse 19. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. Perhaps you have wondered, could you ever really be right with God? David was a religious man. He was a follower, a believer. Look at the mess he got himself into. We can be in a religious building, a church building, and still wonder if we are really right with God. Perhaps you're sorry for the mess that you've made, a mess of your own making. How wonderful it would be if you could just wipe the slate clean and start all over again. The great news is you can. You can. You can be clean and you can start afresh. Scriptures say that he will make us a new creation. He will create within us a new heart by coming to Christ, by admitting that we are sinners, by acknowledging our sin, by receiving his salvation, by receiving his gift of life, and live according to his plan, which is the way of blessing and the way that is glorifying to God. So whoever you are this evening, whether you're sitting here or you're listening to this, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. The scriptures promise that he will make you whiter than snow. The forecast says is that there's more snow on the way within the next week or so. But think about it. Brilliant white. And we just think we're so stained and filthy and ugly.
This is what he says. I'll make you whiter than snow. And that's how we appear to God, through his Son, Jesus Christ. We have received his righteousness, his perfect obedience, in place of all that filthiness and all that shame and guilt and sin. We have his righteousness, and we appear to God as whiter, whiter than snow. He will give you mercy instead of his wrath, life instead of death, heaven instead of the hell that we all do deserve. David finishes with two lovely verses. Well, they're not lovely in verse 10. It's a warning in verse 10. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, those who won't acknowledge their sin, who won't confess it. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Mercy shall surround him. Mercy shall be just covering over him. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. But we're only righteous, we're only upright, as we've been made righteous and upright through faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So let's join together in singing a psalm of confession, a psalm of praise for all that God does for us. Psalm 130 is a psalm about the assurance of forgiveness if we confess our sins to the Lord. Verse 4. Verse 4. Yet with thee forgiveness is. There is forgiveness with you. Verse 5. In his word I do hope. Don't put my hope in something else or in myself. My hope is in God. My hope is in his word, his instructions to us. Verse 7, with the Lord there is mercy, and with him there's abundant redemption. It's abundant redemption. It's abundant salvation. We can't, there's nothing to be added to it. It's all that we need. It's all that we require to be right with him. He goes on in verse 8, he shall redeem Israel. He shall redeem his people from all his iniquities. Have we ever acknowledged to God that we have sinned against him? Have we ever poured out our heart in confession to him? Have we ever called upon him for mercy, for forgiveness? He assures each one of us that when we do, there is forgiveness, there is mercy, there is redemption, there is salvation from sin and salvation from the consequences of our sins. So let us come to the Lord Jesus, our only Redeemer, our only Mediator, with this prayer that the psalmist begins with, Lord, from the depths to thee I cried. Let's cry to him.